Hello, welcome back to the NDL podcast. I am here with Jason. We are going to talk block four, some results from block three, and then we'll have a special guest at the end for an interview. Be sure to stick around. I think it's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun, maybe raise some eyebrows a little bit. But Jason, happy Sunday. We're back on schedule. How are you doing, sir?
Is the special guest Santa Claus?
Even better.
I don't know if
I don't know if
anything's
you can
better than
get,
Santa Claus.
I know, I don't know if you can get better than that, but no,
No, I mean,
might be.
look at us having two podcasts in consecutive weekends. We're, at
I
this rate,
know.
people are going to think we're going to have a regular schedule again.
I know we might be back. I said it last week. We're rolling. So, no better time to be part of the NDL. The season is chugging along. I know there's a lot of games getting in here. Some catching up to do, and we talked about it last week, but I think when we talked, Ohio State was 0-0, and 5 days later, here they are, 5-0. So let's start there. Daniel, See It, Save It is back. I don't want to say any surprise here, but what do you think about Ohio State making a run this past week?
Yeah, I mean, I posted the other night when he got a bunch of his games and that he took it personally, as the MJ meme goes. You know, everybody talking smack about him and comes in and gets some big win. Had a rough game that first one, and then proceeded to get stronger and stronger as I think he played them all in like 24-hour period. Just proceeded to get stronger as he went along there. And you know, goes from no games played to all of a sudden 5-0 and arguably one of the five best team coach combos in the league right now.
Yeah, I saw the comment in the chat. I thought he said he played five games in 3 days. I don't know if he just didn't input the stats when he after he played, but I did see someone had mentioned that it was, or that he had mentioned that it was 5 games in 3 days. But nonetheless, 5-0. I mean, I think the biggest one that got a lot of people, now fearing and looking that way. Was Iowa. I mean, that was a thrashing. I think some revenge from last year. I think Iowa got the best of them. Not this year. Also, funny to see, I think he was 21st or maybe 22nd in the rankings last week, all the way up to number 9, and I'm sure you'll see him go even higher here. But do any
And
of the results. Go ahead.
holding Iowa under 100 yards rushing while doing it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't look at if that was at Iowa. If it was, no, it was not. It was
No, it
at
was at
home.
Ohio
So
State, yeah.
can understand that. I mean, I think that first game a lot of people were watching, and I don't know if this was the first one he played, but in order. But the James Madison game, I think there was a point there where it was almost upset alert and like, oh my goodness, is Ohio State gonna lose to James Madison at home? But of course, in Ohio State fashion. Not only do they pull that one out, but they rolled the next four games. Just kind of like in real life, you'll get a scare or two out of them, and then they'll just absolutely destroy everyone. Big game coming up against Oregon. That is in this block, just that one game for Ohio State. Hope to see it happen this week. That would be awesome. Not sure if those two coaches have scheduled or looked into it yet, but yeah, top 10 matchup, and I think the winner is going to I wouldn't say be cruising, but sitting in the driver's seat, if you will, for the Big Ten.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when you look at the Big Ten, it's Ohio State, it's Oregon. They're the two best teams in there. You got that Wisconsin team hanging around at 5-1. I don't know if they're going to be a threat or not, but you know, at the same time, Iowa's still 4-1. You know, they're not out of this yet. They could very well get back into contention and be, you know, getting a rematch with Ohio State in the Big Ten title game.
Yeah, I think anyone with one loss here in the Big Ten is okay for now. Obviously, slim margin for error. I think a second loss probably takes you out of the contention, just because then you're going to get into the muddy waters of the tiebreakers, as you know, Jason, can get annoying and dumb, as we all know. But yeah, going to be fun to watch. I mean, I'm looking at myself here. I did have a couple bounce back wins, playing a little bit better, but. There's really not much margin for error the rest of the way, but those two teams will play each other. One will have one loss. You'll have a couple other teams like Wisconsin, myself, and Iowa will go head to head. Don't count Penn State out. I know they have two losses, but one of those is only or only one of those is a conference loss. But still, you know, a lot to unfold out of the Big Ten. But Jason, I think you had a stat for us. You said you wanted to mention. You mentioned obviously myself.
Well, I can't mention it right.
So
I can't mention it right now because we haven't announced who our guest is yet.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. So it wasn't just me and you. It was me, you, and our guest. Okay.
Yes.
So I will. I'll let him into the lobby here. He's going to stay on mute for a little while we talk through block three, block four. And then, of course, we'll talk a little bit about the little guys, the smaller conferences, which, hint, hint, that is where one of our guests is coming from, is a smaller conference. A great game just went final. Again, a lot of y'all will be listening to this after the fact anyways, but Kansas State avoids the upset on the road at West Virginia. They lost to Colorado earlier in the day. Colorado took care of business, big win. My prediction was almost exactly correct. On game day, I said 42-20. I think the final score was 42-17, so credit to me for knowing ball. But Kansas State pulls out the win. They were down 35-17 midway through the third quarter, came back to win 39-38 on the road. So Texan Ole bounces back. Speaking of Colorado, we'll start there, too, before we get to the little guys. Big win against UCF. Jason, I think you mentioned you did not catch that game. I was able to watch most of the game. I missed a little bit there in the start of the third quarter, but I got to catch the fourth. Colorado hits a big touchdown late. Actually, UCF had a chance. They had a man wide open downfield, or not wide open, but open downfield for a potential touchdown. Dropped it, unfortunately. Actually, I might be getting this mixed up. I think Colorado actually had a Travis Hunter drop deep in the end zone. But regardless, they got the game. Oh, no, sorry. It was a game interception tied 21-21. So just ignore everything I just said. It's 21-21, pick six by Colorado in the waning seconds to seal that one. So great result. I mean, great game. What's the fallout from this game, Jason? What do you see going on in the Big 12 the rest of the way?
Well, I mean, I've got to unfortunately play both of these teams. I don't expect to win either game. But, you know, with that win, I just don't know that anybody beats Colorado. You know, and one of the things that is difficult in having a quarterback with this trait, you know, Shedeur Sanders is a beast, and I'm pretty sure he's got a field general. So it makes it really hard to blitz him. Yep. And if you can't blitz against Colorado, you're already, you know, screwed, because you're going to have to try to get pressure with four down linemen. If you do blitz, he's going to know who's coming unless he's behind the chains. And, you know, you look at the teams that he's still got to face, none of them really have a dominant defensive line pass rush. Mine has a really good defensive line, but I don't know that they've got a dominant pass rush. So, you know, there's not a defense left on his schedule, I don't think, that can stop that offense. And if you can't stop that offense, you've got to be perfect on the other side of the ball. Nobody on this list, myself included, has shown that they can do that. So barring some sort of fluke or thing where EA decides, you know, Travis Hunter's going to fumble the ball every time he touches it, something like that, I don't think Colorado loses this season. I think they go unbeaten into the Big 12 title game. And then it's just a matter of, is it UCF getting a rematch?
Yeah, I'm looking at the schedule, and, you know, there's no, you can't chalk in this league. We've seen some upsets, we've seen some things happen, but yeah, at Arizona, at home against Cincinnati, at Texas Tech, who's struggling a little bit this year, at Kansas is interesting. I know that was a weird game in real life as well, that Kansas took care of business. Razor is a good coach. I think he can, you know, play well and keep that close, and then Oklahoma State to end. And I left your game out, Jason, because I am going to say, I think you got a shot against both of these teams. I think especially UCF, you know, there was a couple plays, a couple fumbles, pitches on options that, you know, were big, like 13, 14 yard losses, and really put them behind the sticks. I think your defense is good enough to make it pretty difficult on Smitty and UCF. And ratings matter in this game. There are times where, you know, Smitty's obviously rolling and looking great, and the ratings can take over. You mentioned about Sanders. Not a huge Shedeur Sanders fan in real life. I'm not cheering against him. You know, I'm not one of those Colorado haters, but I just don't see it in terms of him being a franchise quarterback. But man, in this game, when he throws the ball, it just looks different. Like, he can sling the ball and looks like everything's on a rope 30 yards down the field and hitting passes. And credit to Coach Canada. He's really slinging the ball well with him and making very minimal mistakes.
And again, as we talked about last week, having a team for the second season in a row, you know all your players. You've got a firm grasp of what worked last season, what didn't work. You know, you know the mistakes that you made, and you're able to learn from them. He's rolling right now, and I think he's going to be an even better contender going into the playoffs than he was last year.
Yeah, well, with Big Mike falling today, looking to see Colorado probably jump to number two in the polls next week. You know, obviously Oklahoma's still number one, but let's transition here. We'll dive into some of the smaller conferences. I'll start in alphabetical order. Talked about this conference a little bit last week, and some of the people at the top. Not a lot of movement in the standings since we've last spoke, but we'll start with the American Athletic. Pat sitting at 5-1. Again, not much has changed there. A lot of conference games yet to be played. I think, you know, half of the conference hasn't even played a conference game. But I think last week we gave Sammy some love at Tulane. Game day gave him some praise as well this past week. But one team I really want to shout out, and he gave me crap for not talking about him last week because we talked about him after we recorded, but Tulsa. Sitting there at 1-1, no conference games yet. Obviously, hasn't got into the bulk of his schedule. Didn't look at his schedule. Not sure why. Only two games. Of course, we're still early on, a little under halfway through the season here. But really think SSI is going to be a problem. He had me in hell in our cup game, winning most of the game. I think even up by two, maybe even three scores at one point. Was able to use the home field advantage and some good gameplay to get me back in momentum to kick a field goal to win it. But he is going to be a force here in this conference, and really curious to see Barkley. I mean, the guy was great last year. Had, I think, UL Monroe win 11-1, couldn't quite win that conference championship, went down to 11-2, missed the playoff. But would love to see what happens with him. Not sure if just out of town or just hasn't been able to get games in yet. But I think that's kind of the dark horse right now in the American Athletic. Jason, I'll turn it over to you to see kind of your take on this conference.
Well, I mean, SSI is on my bad side right now because he was literally down the street from me today in town doing some softball stuff and didn't invite me to come hang out or have lunch or meet him or say hi or anything. So, you know, what the heck, man? NDL. No, you know, he's busy doing some stuff. You know, Tulsa's got some weapons on that team. It's odd looking at his thing and seeing that he's outscored his opponents 63-34, and yet he's 1-1. Just kind of goes to show you can have a huge blowout and then lose a close game, which is what happened with him. Yeah, I mean, Memphis is a good team, so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, when Barkley does start playing his games, what he can do with them. These smaller conferences are always tough because you sometimes have guys who draft high, who take a good group of five team because they feel like they can set themselves up for the next draft. And then sometimes you have guys who were really good two seasons ago, went to a big team last year, didn't do well, and now they're in a smaller conference. And if they get a team that they can do something with, like, you know, you look at a team like Charlotte's got a 98 speed wide receiver. Well, in the right hands of the right coach, that's a team that can cause some serious problems for people. So Pat is a solid coach. He's got ECU rolling. ECU last season was a dangerous team, which I think just goes to show, you know, again, good coach had him left. Another good coach comes in with him, picks up right where they left off. There are some teams in this game that if you get a good coach, they can be a serious problem, even if their ratings necessarily aren't as high as the other teams.
Yeah, and I look at this conference and, you know, jury's still out. It's not really early anymore, but I really hope this isn't a theme this season that we really have to pull guys along for. I know, you know, obviously I just looked at the extended absences and there's a few in here that are on that. So, you know, again, no shame. That's totally fine. That's, you know, what that's there for. But I really hope we don't have to, you know, like I said, pull or drag guys along and push to get games in. I would hope people are still excited. I know college football's over. I know we're getting into spring and baseball and other things, but man, would love to see this season finish strong. So that's just kind of me waving my finger to say, you know, hey guys, hope we see a lot of guys get games in and keep this thing rolling going into next year. So, we'll shift gears here. You know, I won't steal all the thunder here, but we'll go to Conference USA. Obviously, I think Middle Tennessee State was in the rankings maybe last week or the week before. Hot start for them, but have fallen off a little, some tough games. But I think we got to talk about Sam Houston State. Joker cracking into the top 25 this week. Was able to play him in a scrim recently. Very good thrower of the football. Can drive the ball downfield, gain a lot of yards. But I'll stop there, Jason, and let you break down the Conference USA for us and what you see here and some coaches that stand out.
Well, obviously, in Sam Houston State, already 2-0 in the conference, 5-0 overall. Off to a great start. Middle Tennessee State has only lost two games, but none of them have been in conference. And, you know, none of the stuff out of conference matters when it comes to that. So they're in a solid spot. Jacksonville State's got a terrific running game. 122 points scored versus 129 allowed, but sitting at 2-2. He's played a fairly decent schedule. So, and then, you know, Liberty obviously sitting at 0-3, 0-1 in the conference already. That's one of the better teams in the conference. Wonder if old man Wallace can get it figured out and turned around there. The problem for him is he's only scored 45 points in three games.
Yeah, really surprised at Tenacious D. He had a couple solid first few seasons. I think he took over midway through season 29 and then was here last year. I want to say it was with Tulane, but really surprised there. I know Florida International is dog water. They're not a very good team, but Wobbles have played him in a scrim as well. He's a much improved player. I think he probably played a pretty tough out of conference. So I'm curious to see once the conference gets going, but I'm looking at some of these coaches. There's a lot of new ones that I don't know much about. I do not know Dark Randall, Jackalope, JJ, T-Train, D1 obviously is new and has made a splash here, but I think this is going to be just us learning these coaches throughout the year. Don't really see any contenders in this conference in terms of playoff, if you will. Maybe Sam Houston State, right? I just don't know with some of the other strong teams in the NDL right now or in the group of five, if you'll see it out of USA. But I think we'll just kind of learn a lot here from these guys as we go along.
Yeah, I mean, again, like you said, there are so many new guys that are in some of these smaller conferences. I don't know anything about some of these guys. You know, you're reading off the names, and I'm like, those names sound made up. So, you know, completely new cast of characters. So if one of them pops up and becomes a surprise coach, changes everything that we think we know about these smaller conferences.
You know, Jason, someone probably said that about you back in 2008 as well. It was Jay Sense. Who's this guy? He sounds made up.
Well, all words are made up.
Yeah, exactly. Especially screen names online. Most are very made up. We'll move right along. Won't spend a ton of time on this one, but Independence, you know, obviously Rain wouldn't consider him group of five. Dave sitting at 2-0 again. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did Dave go undefeated last season?
Yes.
Okay. Like 12-0. Did he win his bowl game?
I don't know about the bowl game, but I know he went undefeated in the regular season.
Okay. We'll have to look this up because 2-0, great start. You know, a lot of games to be played, and I haven't looked at his schedule, but we could legitimately be looking at a team here by the end of the season that went undefeated last year and then goes undefeated again this year. I'm just looking here to go 13-0. Appreciate our special guest who's in here feeding me stats as we talk. But like, you could be talking here about a 20-25 game win streak. Does that play into this, Jason? Does that play into maybe the playoff or anything here? Maybe not last year's results, but like, what's the longest win streak in the NDL, and could we see it out of Dave?
I don't know what the longest win streak is. That'd be a good question. In terms of the playoffs, you know, he went out and scheduled some better teams, and he hasn't played one of them yet, which the big one is VT Run and Gun. You know, you win that game, and now you give yourself what you didn't have last year, which is a signature win. Now, obviously, VT's not a, you know, he's a great coach, but VT's not a Clemson or an Alabama or an Ohio State. Right. But it is a, you know, coach who I believe last season went 9-3, and who's one of the more respected, you know, coaches in the league. He's won a national championship, and that's a solid team. He's also scheduled Arizona State, and he's scheduled Cal. So I think what may hurt him a little bit is Arizona State seems to be having a bit of a down season right now. I haven't checked to see how Cal's doing, but he, credit to him, he went out and scheduled a tougher schedule this season than what he had last year, because last year that schedule was just unfortunately so rough that it couldn't get him into the playoff. I think it'll depend on if he beats these teams and they have solid seasons, and then it'll come down to as well, do teams in the SEC cannibalize themselves? Do teams in the Big 12 cannibalize themselves? Do we get into a situation where there are enough teams that have two or three losses and enough few teams that are undefeated that he can get that spot in there?
Yeah.
Because remember, he has to get an at-large spot, because the group of five goes to a champion.
Right. No, that's a good point. And I'm going to keep an eye on this story throughout the season. I am looking at his schedule. Like you said, Cal, Arizona State, you know, yeah, not like necessarily the toughest games in the world, but still power conferences or power conference teams. It looks like it's no surprise here. I think every single person on his schedule is a vet. Doesn't look like he's scheduled any newer coaches or new guys.
Oh, he said publicly that that's the case, that he's not playing. He's playing guys he knows and respects.
All right, everyone. Sorry for the choppy pause there. My audio cut out, but Jason, you were saying about Dave publicly. What?
Yeah, he's publicly said that he was only scheduling guys that he's played before and are vets, and that he knows, you know, he's here to have fun, and he wants to make sure that he has fun, and that's the way that he does so. But while doing that, he definitely, you know, schedules some guys that have better teams this season than what he played last year.
Yeah. And to each his own. I think that's fair. I mean, that's probably why, well, one, he plays UConn because he went there and he loves that team. But two, that's the beauty of having a schedule like that, that you get to choose. So moving right along, we'll talk about the Mid-American Conference. You know, very few conference games just kind of got underway. The non-conference, I feel bad. This one, the MAC, got beat up quite a bit in the non-conference. You see a lot of 0-2, 1-3, 1-4, 0-4, 1-4, 2-3 type of teams. But, you know, I think there's a wild card in this conference, or not necessarily a wild card because people know who this guy is, but I think Nub is going to be someone I'm going to keep an eye on here. We all know about Chip. He's probably the favorite here. But Nub sitting at 2-1, 1-0 in the conference. A lot of games yet to be played. But I'll turn it over to you, Jason. What do you see out of the Mid-American this season?
It's fired up Chip. Look, he's one of the best coaches in the league. He got his favorite team. You know, and I think this is another similar thing to last year, what we talked about with UConn, except the opposite way. Last year, Chip went out and scheduled, you know, four of the toughest non-conference games he could get, and it cost him from having a chance to make the playoff. This year, he scheduled, you know, some solid guys. He scheduled Rock at Kentucky, which is his only loss so far. He scheduled, you know, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, SMU, and it'll remain to be seen if those games are going to be strong enough to get him into that top group of five champion if he can win the MAC. You know, losing to Kentucky by 25 is probably not how he saw that game going, but no matter what, you know, I look at the schedule, there are some good coaches in the MAC. I just don't see anybody being on his level with how well he knows that team and how well he's playing with them.
Yeah, I agree with you. I am going to talk a little bit here about some new guys. I was able to catch Breakneck, his game at Ball State as of late. Good-looking player so far. King Salty, I know he's 0-4, but I've watched a few of those games, and there was some pretty close calls, a pretty close game. I can't remember who he was playing, but it was on the verge of what would have been a eye-turning, head-turning, whatever you call it, upset. And then you got a lot of vets in here. You got Quest, you got Old School, you got Elbow, AU Tiger, of course. Yeah, I think, like you said, it's really a two-team league in terms of conference championship, but wouldn't be surprised to see a team come out of here that maybe sneaks into a conference championship game. I haven't looked too big into matchups. One storyline that's interesting, really like the guy. I think he's a good coach, but Shady Nasty. First season had Cincinnati kind of in the running in the Big 12 and really quality season. I want to say it was like 8-4, maybe even 9-3 with that team. Went to OU last year, saw the wrath of the SEC, didn't probably do, you know, hit win goal or anything like that, and ended up here. I think he's a really good coach. 1-4 surprises me, but it just goes to show, you know, and I hate that I'm saying this, but sometimes you bite off more than you can chew, and you go into a big conference or the SEC with a big team like that, and it sets you back for a season or two, and you find yourself in the MAC. And again, no discredit to anyone in the MAC. It's just kind of how this league works sometimes. So thought that was an interesting thing of note. Moving right along, go to the Mountain West. This is still one of my favorite conferences to follow and watch games on and just kind of see results as they come through. Jason, I'll let you start. Talk to us a little bit about the Mountain West and what are some storylines here? What are some teams that we should keep an eye on?
Well, obviously, you know, AU Chase at Miles Stomping on Fresno. He's got them rolling along. I think the most impressive part about what he's done so far is that four of his five wins have all come on the road.
Yeah.
Granted, you know, looking at who he's played, not the most daunting schedule, especially when you look at the records of some of those teams. But, you know, one of the important things about Fresno is that you don't have to play Boise State during the regular season. And I think that helps him a ton because it makes it a much easier path to get to the conference championship game. You know, San Diego State, always a dangerous team, sitting at 4-1. IROC sitting at 2-1 with Boise, hasn't played a ton of games yet. I think every season it comes down to those three teams.
Yeah, no arguments there. I'll give you one team to keep an eye on. T-Step over at Colorado State. Been a little bit quiet this season so far. Haven't seen him in the chats or around as much. But 3-1, great start. Obviously, the win against Alabama we talked about last week. No conference games yet, but would not be surprised. You know, I enjoyed playing against him. I was fortunate to play against him the first two seasons we were back when he was at BYU and when he was at USC. I was fortunate to win those games, but they were both very, very close games. And I think he's a pretty quality player. And then, yeah, you mentioned Rock, you know, 2-1. I think he's been out of town on work conferences and things like that. I do think this is, I won't say the year, because I guess he's already been to that conference championship, but I do think you're going to see Boise State in the top two and playing for a conference championship, maybe even a potential bid for the playoff, just depending on how things shake out. But yeah, I was going to call that out too. The 4-0 on the road for Fresno State is really great, because their defense, as you know, is it's pretty brutal, minus the pass rusher that you wreaked havoc with. So so yeah, that's we'll keep an eye on kind of the storylines here. We'll move on to the Pac-12, Pac-2, I guess I should say. Not a ton to touch on here. You know, Untouchable, obviously, back. Off to an 0-5 start. It's been tough. I think I've seen, you know, he'll have some winnable games coming up here down the stretch based on the schedule with the MWC. But Lick, 2-2, couple close games, close losses. Talk to me a little bit about what you're seeing out of the Cougs so far, Jason, or these two teams, if you will.
I mean, obviously, Oregon State 0-5. There's just not much to talk about. Their 64 right. points scored in five games is brutal. In terms of Lick, 1-point loss at Purdue, 3-point loss at Marshall. But the game that matters for him, he got the Apple Cup, you know, won by 7 over Washington. That's a huge game for rivalry points and things like that. That's an 82 rated team. So, you know, Lick doesn't have to worry about winning or hitting his win goal at all. It's pretty much get your stats, get your recap, win your rivalry game, get a couple wins on the road, which Washington was on the road, and you automatically hit your 82. So that, I think at the end of the day, that's all he cares about, is making sure he gets to keep the Cougs for another season.
Yeah, couldn't have said it better. I will say I'm very impressed with his passing stats. Quarterback toward the top of the country, his tight end obviously also toward the top of the country, both in touchdowns and yards. He's not going anywhere. He loves that team. That's his school. Going to kind of suck because quarterback's leaving him, because he does have a really, really good quarterback who is going to Oklahoma next year. But obviously that won't change what he does or where he goes at all. He's a diehard Cougs guy. So, yeah, we'll talk about, obviously, the last Group of Five conference here, the Sun Belt. You know, again, some new coaches, some names I don't really recognize or haven't seen much out of or don't know much about. But we'll just start with the number one here, which is a good segue. He won't join us right this minute, but not to spoil it, our guest today is going to be MC Marion County at Old Dominion. But before we have him go on mute and talk to us, Jason, Sun Belt, I think it's Old Dominion's to lose at this point. I'm putting some pressure on him, but I see that other side has Soxie at 3-0, looking pretty solid to start the season, outscoring opponents by 100 points in three games. So that's nothing to discount, but I just don't see a ton here in this conference. But obviously Old Dominion is rolling. So anything to add on the Sun Belt Conference, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, Randog with Texas State's always a problem. He's off to a 1-3 start. It's kind of rough for him, but none of those have come in conference yet. So he's still, you know, well in the hunt over in the West. In the East, you know, it's so hard to deal with Marion County and his cheesy play. So not sure anybody's going to be able to stop him over there. Although I, you know, we talked about it last week. I'm undefeated against him all time. So I was able to get the better of him, but no, you know, He talked a lot of junk to Pat, and he's backed it up. He went to one of the worst teams in the game and is sitting at 4-0. He's ranked, and you know, he's, credit to him, he's called his shot. Now, granted, he hasn't played any super dangerous teams yet, so it's going to be interesting to see what he can do when he plays against Georgia Southern, for example, who I've played, who is a very good coach. And has done really extensive research on that team. He's still got to play homie at App State. He's still got to play Virginia. James Madison, you know, MCX is not a bad coach. So it'll be interesting to see what he can do with Old Dominion against those guys.
Now, a weird wrinkle about this conference currently is that there has been one total conference game played so far. It's kind of weird to see this late into the season, but I know there's some new guys that just took over recently. Obviously, those first 4 weeks are heavily non-conference focused all across the league. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm not going to say it's going to be a cakewalk for him, but there will be a couple tests. It'll be interesting to see some of these new guys if they can pull off the upset. But yeah, without further ado, we will welcome on our guest for today. I call him the bad boy of the NDL, kind of jokingly, kind of not. But Marion, thanks for joining us. Any comment on Jason saying he beat you recently?
He did. I think that was when I was in. By the way, thanks for having me, guys. Y'all can hear me, yeah?
Yeah, can hear you good.
Beautiful, you're beautiful. So yeah, man. Yeah, he beat me. I was in Florida. I was on vacation, getting ready for cruises. Is what it is. I think I don't even remember the team I was. I don't think I've ever played with that team in my life.
You were Arizona State. I was playing with Utah, so it was a little bit unfair advantage, but
yeah, it is what it is, man. It is what it is. You know. But anyways, yeah. So yeah, what's going on, guys? One second. Let me just pop open. Let me pop open the top of my boy.
Oh, we love it, man. Well, no, we're glad to have you on the show. I know you've been listening here. Appreciate you feeding me some stats as I stumble over my words, trying to make sure I get the right ones. But talk to us a little bit about your history in the NDL. So, you know, we've chatted more over the past season or two now, you and I, but I don't really know your backstory. I know you were in the league very early on, took a hiatus and came back or are now back. So talk to us about how you got started and just, you know, your story through the NDL.
Oh yeah. All right, so yeah, I joined the league. I think I was like 15, man. It was like season two. I picked Air Force up like midway through. I used to tell them, like I said, I used to be really good, like close with Big Mike back in the day, back when he was doing D3 line work out there at Framingham State. I was in the league for a couple years, man, and I don't know what it was. I think I just found women. I think I just found girls, and I didn't really play video games that much. So I lasted like three seasons, man, and got to like 17, 18. I was like, man, I don't want to play games anymore. I just want to hang out with girls. So you know, I took a hiatus, and then I when this game came back out, like last back in August, I noticed that I was like, oh, let me just check this, if the site still was existing. And I was like, holy shit, all the stats were there. Everything was there. And I was like, all right, let me apply back. And that's how I got back in the league. I had Tulsa my first year. I think I went like 9-4, which was funny because I had Tulsa as my last season in season five. I went like 12-1 with them or something like that. And it was just, yeah, I just got back. And then, yeah, here I am.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Us nerds here that don't know how to talk to women, we kept playing the game for a long time. No, it's good. So something that I find interesting, and you don't need to tell us your personal business, your life, but you live in Eastern Europe. What's that like?
I live in Tallinn, Estonia. It's the capital of Estonia. Right now, there's a shitload of snow on the ground. As I look outside, it's about, what time is it right now? 11:44 at night, almost midnight. I've been here for like 2.5 years. My wife's Estonian. I met her in Portugal, but I've spent the last like probably about 9-10 years in Europe, man. I was just kind of fed up with the States, man. I've always been into like tech, so I was always able to work remote. So I've been just working remote, man, just making American money out in Europe. And that's just, yeah, that's what I've been doing for like the last 9 years. But I've been in Estonia for like 2.5, like I said.
Yeah. Awesome, man. I would love to live in Europe someday. I always think about finding some remote work, whether it's a sales job or something, and just logging in and working U.S. hours over in Europe and, you know, living the dream. So,
yeah, that's like that's the only thing, man, is the U.S. hours. I got to work usually. I usually work like 4 p.m. midnight to midnight Estonia time, which coincides with like 9 p.m. to 5 p.m. in Eastern time.
Yeah.
It sucks. It sucks doing that, but the pay is great. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I got to say, like, it gets dark over there pretty early in the winter anyway, so it's probably not missing too much this time of year, right?
No, yeah, man, it gets dark around, like, 4 o'clock. Sun rises around, like, 11, but in the middle of June, it'll be sun for 24 straight hours, man. Yeah. There's, like, a whole week where the sun doesn't set at all, which is pretty cool.
Awesome. Well, Jason, I'll turn it over to you here in a sec. I got one question, though. I mean, obviously, your options were limited when it came in this draft. We all know the situation that obviously you were in. Yeah. I think there were still options, though, toward when you came through your pick, because there were some open coaching vacancies. I'm not sure what the options were, but I guess why Old Dominion over maybe the other 4 or 5 teams that were available?
So if you play me, you know that my emphasis is like tight ends, right? Like we want 2 tight end sets. We don't spread the ball. We want 5 yards of carry. We want 5 to 10 yards of play. We want 11, 12 play drives, right? So the whole point of my offense is the tight ends. And I was looking and I wanted Middle Tennessee State. They got picked a couple picks before me. And then I wanted Georgia Southern. They got to pick a couple picks before me. And then I just kept looking and looking, and they were Old Dominion was the only team that had 2 serviceable tight ends left. They have a really, really good linebacker named Jason Henderson. He's like if you put him at middle linebacker, he's like a 92 overall, which like, when we're talking about the, when we're talking about the Sun Belt, 92 overall players, like God, right? So yeah. I just looked him over and I was like, okay, yeah, they have a really good freshman quarterback named Colton Joseph. He's like an 80 overall freshman quarterback with like 84 speed. He's got like 91 throw power. He's like an underrated little freshman quarterback. Yeah, so I was like, freak it, we're just rocking with the Monarchs. Let's go ahead and get it.
Jason, I'll turn it over to you if you have any questions. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, talk to us a little bit about how difficult it is, because I've always kind of wondered it with the time difference, how difficult it is to get some of these games in, because you've got to be playing at 2, 3, 4 in the morning your time to play against some of these guys, especially if they're out on the West Coast and you tack on another 3 hours.
Yeah, so like that's like probably the hardest thing. But the thing is, my schedule work wise kind of fits with it, because like I do everything on American's time, right? So like I work till midnight. I probably stay up till like 3, 4 in the morning every day anyway, because just like my internal clock. So I thankfully my wife's really good with my daughter, so I don't really have to wake up to like 11 or noon. But it's just like a normal, like it's just I just basically live America hours in Europe, which is kind of crazy, but. I prefer the dudes in the Western Coast because I can schedule them at like 10, 11 their time. That's like 9 in the morning for me, you know? So it's like much easier to do that. If you look in the threads recently, I got Toro. So Toro can only play at like 10 p.m. after 10 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, which is kind of like a pain. But like by him, he's like, he can play at midnight. So that's like 9 in the morning for me. So it's like, okay, I'll just go ahead and play him that time. You know what I mean?
Nice. Looking ahead at your schedule, because obviously, you know, we talked about it. You've got 4 wins. You know, a couple of those guys were looking like they were going to have better years than they are so far.
Yeah.
You've got some really tough games coming up. What's the one game that you think could make or break? Not necessarily the game that'll be, you know, your toughest, but what's the one game that you think will make or break your season?
I think it's James Madison. I've seen that he took Ohio State, had a close game with Ohio State, but then I saw that Connecticut smashed them. So I was like, kind of up in the air. The funny thing is I noticed that when I see him play, I had talked to him a season ago and I was like I didn't think I'd ever get Old Dominion, right? So like he actually uses my playbook. He's one of like only 2 or 3 people in this league that I've ever shared this playbook with, and he uses it. So it's kind of funny that he actually does use my playbook every game he plays. So that's kind of actually a benefit for me. But I would definitely say James Madison, just for the sheer fact that it's my only rivalry game. It's the only thing stopping me from potentially getting the first pick in the draft, because if I win out, I think there's no doubt that I'll make it to the playoff. I think there's no doubt that I'll definitely probably the top 1 to 5 picks in the draft. What kind of screwed me was my buddy Addison, who's actually Addy Lopes. He's probably like my best friend in real life. He took Texas Tech and he's having an abysmal season with him. He's got a case of the RB, man. He doesn't want to run the ball. He wants to throw interceptions.
Hey now. I ran the shit out of the ball today, this morning. Okay.
I did. I was so proud of you. So proud of you, bro. I was watching that. I was so proud of you. I was like, dude, this guy's giving Northwestern a taste of his own medicine. I love it. And then the fourth down play within the rules, may I add? I love that too.
I was worried a fumble there, but yeah, I got lucky.
Look, RB, you don't have to take that. Okay. Cause you no longer have how many picks did you throw in that game?
Eight.
Okay, I'm trying to remember. I think I had 9. No, I didn't throw 9. I believe my game with Arizona, I picked off 9.
9.
So
okay,
you
so
no
safe.
Longer have and you know, full credit to Corbin. I played him earlier this week. Pulling up the stats now. No, it was 8. So you're tied. So you know you are no longer the latest quarterback to throw 8 picks. Full credit to him. He kept going 10 cup, you know, like we talked about last week. He kept the same quarterback in there. He's like, no, I'm doing this. And unfortunately, the dude kept finding me 15, 20 yards downfield. So yeah, you are no longer the latest quarterback to throw 8 or player to throw 8 interceptions in a game.
So MC, you talked a little bit about the draft next season. You know, again, I don't know if we're playing a 4th season. Again, I'll say it again. I hope we don't. I hope we take a little break and get into the next version of the game. But what is the ceiling for Old Dominion? Obviously, you said playoffs was the goal and, hey, take care of business, get through the conference and go undefeated. You know, again, I agree with you. I think you would be the team in the playoff. I guess, do you think this team's – I mean, I think you're good enough. Do you think with the ratings between some of the other teams that will be in the playoffs, like, is it realistic to think Old Dominion could win a playoff game or two or even crazy get to a national championship?
No, I think ceiling would be, like, first round of the playoffs or, like, what Chip did with Coastal Carolina in year one. I just – the speed on this team, the size on this team, it can't compete. Like, I had that win against Oregon in the thing, but I don't know what got into Shell that game. I just think that he just wasn't at his he just wasn't at his peak. Like he goes like I think you guys have discussed it. He goes through like this Eeyore phases where he's like, oh, woe is me. I can't play. I just think that when he
I'm
gets
no good. Team, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, man, and it's like, dude, if you just literally just call I form normal and just run the ball down this team's throat, you're gonna smash me. So like I don't know how I ended up winning that or how I ended up pulling that. You know what I mean? But like I said, I think the playoffs is would be the ceiling, which with Old Dominion would be, I think, an amazing accomplishment. That would be, and to answer your question, that would be it. The ceiling probably would be first round of the playoffs, but let's see how it goes. Because like I said, this kid's saucy. I've seen this kid saucy play. He's like, I don't know if he's a young kid or an old. I don't know how old he is, but just how he plays, he's like one of these new generations. Just quick decisions. He's got it. So I think that if, yeah, me and him in the conference championship is going to be a barn burner.
You know what we're all rooting for, right?
Me and Petty?
We're all rooting for it to come down to Old Dominion and East Carolina for that group of five guaranteed.
He won't play me, man. He won't.
No. I'm talking about we want it to come down to you, the two of you being up for that last playoff spot, that group of five top conference champion. The amount of politicking that will go on between the two of you, it'll be epic.
Yeah, it would be. But I've come to terms with old Patrick over there. I honestly, man, he's no good for my mental health. I've realized that he affects me in ways that other people can't. And I think it's better if I just leave him in his little troll cave. I've learned that just honestly. It's the best thing for me.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just be honest. I like Pat a lot. I think he got in my head when I saw that he was picking. I'm in the chat for game day, and they were going through their picks, and he picked USC, and I was like, no, I'm going to prove him wrong. And then he got in my head, and I just got my ass kicked. But no, that would be interesting theater and drama toward the end of the season. But I don't know who Pat's loss is against, but I would think 13-0 and 12-1 undefeated over non-undefeated would. You know, I don't know. I think it would kind of trump it, but that would be good, yeah, Jason.
Yeah, his well, one loss to Indiana, which isn't a huge, isn't a great loss. But what'll also help you is the fact that his strength of schedule right now is 9-32, I believe. Oof. So you're looking at a not very strong schedule. You've got some better teams on your schedule, I think, than he does right now.
The thing with him, I think the biggest thing would be just the fact that I'm 16th in the country right now. So, like, if I went out, there's no way that he'll ever get above me in those rankings. You know what I mean? Right. I think that's the biggest caveat to all of it.
Yeah, you've kind of already established where you stand or where you're at currently, whereas he's a little bit behind. I mean, I think he is in the, maybe top 30 right now. I think he was very close to getting ranked in the last rankings. But
I think he is ranked, actually.
Oh, is that right? Maybe in the media poll.
I have to look.
No, yeah, as it stands right now, he has the weakest schedule in the league.
Wow, Pat.
Oof.
Pick it up. Oof. So
we will hear about this, by the way, in live chat once this comes out.
Oh yeah.
Oh, for sure.
For sure. Marion, I got, another couple questions for you. The first one I'll ask is, obviously last season there was the drama, the Jiggy thing. I think some of us had different opinions on it. Some laughed, some were like, hey, that's not cool. We can't do that here. I won't get into what's right or wrong, or I don't need you to defend yourself. But, I think there's maybe a little bit of this, again, he's the bad boy of the league, or, oh, it's MC, he's kind of out there with how he does things. I guess, what do you want the league to know about you that maybe a lot of people don't, or some of these new guys might not know who the real MC is?
I just think, man, I'm just a dude. I'm a father of kids, man. I'm just like a normal person. Like there's just like, okay, obviously, man, like I like it's like you guys, I'm not into pro wrestling, right? But I've been leading like the heels and faces, right? Like every league needs a heel sometimes, And it's like, not like I'm out here, like the thing with Jiggy, okay? And I'm not, like I said, this isn't a thing to talk about my transgressions, or this wasn't like the whole point, but like, right. It really was a joke, Like I really was playing around with that. And like, at the end of the day, whatever, I understand that they have to have rules, and they have to have you got to be able to like have some kind of guidelines, otherwise the shit will get off the rails. I do get it, right? The thing with LSU, it's like, okay, it was third down, it was 3rd and 8 on the 38 yard line. I can't kick 60 yard field goals in Death Valley, right? Okay, I went for it, I ended up losing, but this thing that I have a play to win mentality is just so far from the truth. Because man, I'll go out of my way. You can ask Uncle Elbow. You can ask the dude from James Madison. You can ask a lot of people, even you, RB. I'll go out of my way and like literally take time out of my day to if we're at like cordial and we're friendly, I don't have any problem like sharing tips or like giving suggestions or just shooting the shit. You know what I mean? It's like this whole thing that I just only want to win is just so far from the truth. And that's the only thing I would say.
Yeah, I love it. Jason, any other questions before I ask kind of my final one?
Yeah, can I get that playbook?
You got to, you're too good to get the playbook, man. I give it to people who are in need.
Hey, I got too good. Hey, look. Don't let my record and my stats fool you. I played two games where I got pick after pick after pick after pick, and it helped me a ton. I need something new with the playbook, and I got two really good tight ends. So
we'll talk about it later.
Yeah. my last one is I just want to get your take on the state of the league, and I don't mean like from a like commissioner standpoint, but more of like. You know, who, like, we talk about the SEC a lot, and that conference looks like a gauntlet right now. What is your kind of predictions or your takes on some of these teams, some of these top guys? You don't have to give us a championship prediction, but, you know, kind of talk us through high level what you're seeing out of the NDL right now.
I just think that it's been mirrored what you saw season 29 or 30. What season are we on? We're 31?
31, yep.
Yeah, so like 29, man, it's Jiggy and everybody else, man. And like the thing is, like with Jiggy, it's just him and everyone else. So like when all these talks go on about who is this and who is that, it's like, dude, it's that dude and everybody else, right? So like we're all just fighting for second place. We're fighting for this dude's crumbs. I don't see a world where this dude, like I think Steam is in for a rude awakening in a couple of weeks when he has to play this kid. I think that Steam is not ready. I think I'm going to call it right now. Jiggy is going to beat Steam by at least 25. At least 25. I just think it's because when you watch this kid play compared like me, man, I'm really methodical and I try to play. And you saw it. Like when I played him in that cup game, it lasted for 12 minutes. I was in the game for 12 minutes driving up. And then you make one, two mistakes. And then he makes you pay for those mistakes. And there is no coming back. So I think until someone and like, that game, I don't know what it was, that game against Smitty, like if you compare him and Smitty, it's night and day, man. I just, like, I don't know. It's just, I think it's him and everybody else. And that's the answer to the question. Yeah.
I did not watch the national championship game. Sorry to cut you off, Jay. I did not watch the championship game. I did see it was close. I don't know if it was a backdoor kind of close or if it was like truly down to the wire. But obviously, like, there has been some closer calls. So guys are starting to catch up, I guess you could say. But I'd have to agree with you. I mean, anyone who doesn't rank him number one in their polls are just being haters at this point, in my opinion. Yeah. But yeah, go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I mean, you remember one of the only losses he's had came in a game where he fumbled like four times. So I mean, it took a fluke
was that
situation.
That was against a kid that just got that was
against the
state kid.
Was that against?
That was, yeah, FL man. It was one of
no. This was his first. No, this was the first season.
Nah, but he was but the
yeah, he
FL
took over.
Wasn't it against Baylor?
Yeah, but he took. Yeah, so he
was.
So he took
time,
over
and he
for
changed his name.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It was, yeah, he was prime time, and then he took over Baylor like the last, I don't know, two, three blocks of the season and beat him. And then, yeah, he changed his name to FL Man University.
I didn't realize he changed his name, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Jason, any last questions or anything? I think I might have asked that already.
No, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how your season plays out and where you end up in the draft.
All right, man. Yeah, I can't wait to see where I end up in the draft. I'm gonna let y'all know right now. I'm looking at Alabama. Let's see what happens.
Alabama seems to be a problem for everybody. I don't know that I'd want to mess with that team, to be honest.
I wish Mike would do the right thing. I talked to him in private chats. I wish he'd give me Florida back, but he don't want to. But anyway,
that ain't never happening.
That's neither here nor there. But anyways, boys, I appreciate you having me on. Always a pleasure, man. Always, I really look forward to listening to you guys every week, man. Great quality, great production. You guys are doing a good thing here, man. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Thanks, MC. We appreciate it. Well, we'll kind of wrap things up here. Let's talk just real high level, Jason, about maybe some games that are coming up here in this block to keep an eye on. I mentioned one of them earlier. I'll give you some time to look at the schedule. But big one with Oregon versus Ohio State. I think that's going to be a game that the winner probably finds themselves in the Big Ten championship. And then, you know, from there, it's going to be interesting to see how the Big Ten shakes out. But that's one that I'm really keeping an eye on as like a revenge game for Ohio State. I know they're going to be on the road, but that's one that I'm really keeping an eye on. Is there any games for you that come to mind here in this block that we're hitting in block four?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just keep it even, or I'll keep it personal. It's me versus TCU. You know, this is one of those games that I've got a win goal of 10.5. So I got to win 10 games. I know you said you think I have a shot against them, but I don't see myself in any way, shape, or form beating Colorado and UCF. TCU is probably the toughest game outside of those two that I have left on my schedule. He's 4-2. He's ranked 5th in the Massey in offense. He's really got his offense playing well. He's come up with some big interceptions. You know, that is going to be a very difficult game. Thankfully, I have that one at home. I only have 4 home games this year, which really kind of sucks, but it was,
you got to talk to your athletic director on that one.
Well, that's what happens when you play non-conference games and then you have an alternating rivalry game that's locked in. So you only have 2 non-conference games. So, and to be fair, knowing my win goal was what it was and that it was probably unlikely I wouldn't get that. I actually scheduled the other 2 games on the road on purpose so that I have more chance at bonus points. You know, got to have that 5,000 IQ. But you know, when it comes to these big games, having them on the road really sucks because I play both UCF and Colorado on the road. So this is my toughest game outside of them. It's at home, which I think will be very important for me with the home field advantage. And, you know, if I can win that game, then I still have a shot at getting my 10 wins. If I don't, I'm screwed.
Yeah, that's a good call out. I mean, I think it's a game that kind of shows you where you stack up in the conference. I mean, obviously you still have Smitty and Colorado, but you know, TCU has been a quality, solid guy in the league here the last couple of seasons. A couple of games to note that maybe a ton of people aren't talking about. You know, obviously Kentucky, Florida, we could talk about SEC games all the time. I want to give Illinois some love. He's been a new coach and playing really well, sitting at 4-1, goes against Michigan this block, and Freak really needs a signature win or a big win to kind of keep him on life support to keep that team. But as I scroll through a little deeper, I think we're doing what we did last year where Miami loses those 2 out-of-conference games and you're kind of sleeping on them again. But 2-0 in the conference, 3-2 overall, goes to play Louisville, who just had a big win against Notre Dame, sitting at 5-0 and 2-0 in the conference. That'll be, I think, a really big result in that conference race early. And then, you know, I guess South Carolina, like, where you at, man? Metro, I know you had a heck of a season last year. 1-1, 0-1 to start conference, but he plays Jiggy coming up, and I would love to see that matchup because I think, you know, obviously one of the top coaches in the both of the top coaches in the league would be one to keep an eye on as well.
Yeah, I mean, again, just to reiterate what Marion said, you took Jiggy from a team that had a couple weapons at running back and quarterback to a team that's got weapons everywhere, and I think everybody's just fighting for second place. So a lot of these games are going to come, you're going to be massive, more so than they were last year, because you've got, you know, him and LSU. You know, can anybody knock one of those two out of reaching the SEC title game?
Yeah, and you think about Oklahoma and Florida's schedule, you know, Florida suffering the loss today, but they both have a lot of tough games ahead of them, especially Florida. I know Oklahoma also has a pretty tough schedule, but yeah, going to be interesting to see all the results shake out. And then one other game I wanted to talk about, they talked about it on game day, you got Maryland versus USC. Very interesting. Obviously, USC took it to me, has won a couple other big games against Michigan. T. Wade at Maryland sitting at 2-1, but 2-0 in conference play so far. I think this is a game where the winner will really put themselves in the driver's seat. Obviously, tough schedules for all teams the rest of the way, but I think that's going to be a sneaky good game that, you know, you look at Maryland and USC from a branding standpoint, it doesn't really shout like, oh my gosh, this is an amazing game, but I do think that's going to be a good one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, you know, you talk about that loss that you took to USC. It reminds me of the stat that I forgot to bring up earlier, the three of us on the podcast today combined 22-1, including cup games this season.
Yeah, that so is.
You had to be the blemish.
I did.
Don't worry, I'll probably be joining you here this block.
Yeah, it's something where it's like, man, I really wish I would have rather lost one of those non-conference games. I mean, I'd rather lose none of the games, but if I had to pick one to lose, I kind of wish it would have rather been a non-conference because, man, it really does put the margin for error very slim the rest of the way, knowing that, you know, if you lose another conference game and sit at 2 losses in the conference, you're probably not in control of your own destiny anymore. not a win at all cost league, right? We're all here for fun, but you know, sometimes it's fun to be in the mix later in the season and have a chance. And my next block, you know, I still got one more game this one, but my next block is, you know, at Iowa, who's a top 12, 15 team right now. And then you get Penn State at home. And Nidler is just won a big game against Illinois handedly and is looking pretty good again. So going to be fun. A lot of awesome matchups and games down the stretch. We'll wrap it up there. We're right, you know, kind of at the hour mark. Any closing words, statements to wrap up the show today, Jason?
No, we're at the halfway point of the season. You know, get your games in, get your, if there's still time, I can't remember if the cup closed yesterday or if it closes today or tomorrow, you know, get those last cup games in. And by the time we talk again, we'll have the beefy cup bracket available to us.
Yeah. Round of 64. I think the calendar says the 5th, but I have a feeling it might be a little sooner because I don't think many beefy cup games are getting played anyways at this point. But yeah, excited to see that continue on. Nothing for me. Thanks for joining us today, guys. Glad to keep this rolling. They say just building a good habit takes a few repetitive things, and we're going to try to build the good habit of doing this every Sunday at a similar time and get you guys this content later on Sunday night or first thing Monday morning. So, yeah, great show today, Jason. Shout out to our guest, Marion, for coming on. Hope you guys all enjoy, and we will see you next week.